Let us hear God's word. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the days of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And then reading from John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we come before you now, asking that you would send your Holy Spirit to bless the preaching and the hearing of your word, all to the glory of Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. It is at this time of the year that we turn our attention to giving gifts. We make our list and we check it twice. And it really doesn't matter if you've been naughty or nice, you're still going to get something underneath the Christmas tree. But why do we give gifts here at Christmas? Where did this tradition come from? Well, one of the reasons for gifts at Christmas may be because the story of the wise men, you know, they traveled a long distance to bring gifts to the baby Jesus. But I think there's another reason. Maybe the tradition of giving gifts to one another is not because a gift was brought to Jesus, but because a gift was brought to you. Jesus is a gift. God gave us a gift, the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. To us, a Son is given. I bring you good news of great joy will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The scriptures point out that Christmas is about getting and receiving gifts, but it is a gift that we have received, a gift from God, a gift that we badly needed. Ironically, the surrounding circumstances of the initial proclamation of this gift is a setting of doom and gloom. During the prophet Isaiah's day, Palestine, the Holy Land, is occupied by the ungodly nation of Assyria. The Assyrian army comes in and conquers the land. It kills its people. It rapes the land for all of its valuable resources. The people are left with nothing. Isaiah chapter 8 states that they will be distressed and hungry. They will roam through the lands when they are famished. They will be enraged and looking upward. They will curse their king and God. Then they will look toward the earth and see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom. And they will be thrust into utter darkness. Imagine this scenario. The Chinese army invades our nation, takes most of the population away to put them into slave labor. You never know what happens to your son or your daughter or to your spouse, never to see them again. The Chinese steal and confiscate all of your possessions, all of your neighbor's possessions. They destroy the land so that you cannot even plant a garden. There's no store that you can go buy things to, no Dollar General down the street that you can go get something. There's no police. There's no military. There's nobody to keep you safe from renegade Chinese or U.S. citizens. It's just total lawlessness. Think of the sorrow and the despair that would set in. This was the scenario in Israel after the Assyrian invasion. A scenario that the prophet Isaiah says is only distress and darkness and fearful gloom. But in the midst of such despair, God reaffirms his promise that there is coming a time where there will be no more gloom. In sharp contrast, instead of gloom, there's going to be joy. Verse 3, you have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at great harvest, as men rejoice dividing the plunder. This joy is compared to a great harvest. You see, Israel was an agricultural nation, and their agriculture had been decimated by the Assyrian army. They were now without food. There was hunger. And it was so severe that some parents even turned to killing and eating their children. Yet the promise to the people in such a terrible situation is that there is coming a time of joy. Joy will be restored as one rejoices over an abundance of harvest. In our culture, it would be like a losing team that loses every year. Every year they try again and again, but they keep on losing. And then all of a sudden, this particular year, they win the championship. Or be like a pauper who all his life has had nothing, and then overnight he wins the lottery. You see, the contrast here that the scriptures present is a contrast in extremes. It goes from gloom to joy, from poverty to riches, from hunger and famine to an abundance of good things. Another reason for great joy will be the defeat of their oppressors. Verse 4, as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders. If you've read the story in the book of Judges, in the days of Gideon, Midian was the enemy of Israel. Midian was a neighboring nation, and they continually, like a bee in someone's bonnet, they kept persecuting and attacking Israel. As a slave is locked in a heavy yoke around his neck, so Israel had this yoke around their neck because Midian was such persecution to them. So God raised up a deliverer. That was Gideon. If you remember the story, Gideon goes to fight against Midian, but God said to him, stop, wait, you've got too many people. You've got too many soldiers. So God reduces the number of Gideon's army to 300. And with these 300 men, Gideon is to go to battle against a much more numerous opponent. But something happens. Something happens. Something miraculously happens. And it happens suddenly. Just as there is about to be this big battle, Midian, the soldiers in Midian, turn on themselves. They begin to fight against one another. And Gideon and his army are standing there and they are astonished. Midian fights against Midian. Midian destroys the army of Midian. So Isaiah says that like Midian's defeat, the promise of God's deliverance is going to be miraculous. It's going to happen suddenly, and it's going to happen without human effort. But how can these great things be done for such poor, sinful people as we? The events so described are beyond our understanding. Because how can these things come to pass? How does one go from walking in darkness to living in light? How does one go from extreme poverty to extreme prosperity? How does one go from being under the yoke of oppressors to be given freedom? Well, the answer is in the scriptures themselves. And the answer is this: unto you a son is given. Unto you a child is given. In the ancient Near East, this wording was reserved for a royal birth announcement. When the king had a son, it was announced throughout the whole land. Unto you a child is born. Unto you a son is given. It's a royal birth announcement. And what was meant by this announcement was that the people were to rejoice because the lineage of the king is going to continue. You see, the blessings for the entire nation, the blessings for all the people were tied directly to the prosperity of the king and the continuation of the king's family. So when this birth announcement is announced, unto you a son is given, unto you a child is given, the whole nation was to rejoice because they knew that prosperity would continue. They knew that the harvest would be great. They knew that because the lineage of the king was going to continue, that they would be protected from the enemies outside. They would go from gloom and distress to rejoicing. Notice at the birth of Christ, we have this same royal birth announcement. And it comes with a command to rejoice. For the angel said to the shepherds, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David has a Savior, a Savior has been born to you, given to you. He is Christ the Lord." In Isaiah and other parts of the Old Testament, the promise of God is that a time is coming of great joy, a time when joy will not fluctuate between joy and sadness, but a time when there would be nothing but joy, an ever-increasing time of joy. And this time of joy is connected to the birth of a son, our King, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 7 says, "Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end." This time, when Christ is born, joy will be over all the earth. The events described in Isaiah 9 are indeed great and beyond our expression. But so also is the author of these great events. There is a great deliverer working out a great deliverance for you. There is a child who is meek, who is humble, who is innocent. But this child is going to carry the weight of the government of the world upon his shoulders. For you see, this infant is also the Ancient of Days. This little child who is dependent upon nursing at his mother's breast is also the great I Am, the self-sufficient God. This little child who must be taught and nurtured in the Word of God is also the wonderful counselor who is the Word of God and teaches his people the Word of God. This little child who must eat in order to keep up his strength is also the Almighty God. This little child who will give his life is also the Everlasting Father. This little child who lies in the manger is the Prince of Peace. But there's going to come a time when he will be the Lion of the tribe of Judah in order to destroy all sin and all of his enemies. And this little child is given for you. For to us a child is born. To us a son is given. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The scriptures make it clear that the reason for the coming of the Messiah was for our benefit. He is a gift to us from God the Father. Christ is presented to us as a son. He is presented to us as a son. Unto you a son is given. He is a gift to us from the Father. Christ is presented to us as a son on our behalf. The reason for his birth is inseparably connected to bringing blessing to you and me. We see this idea in the book of Judges with the mother of Samson. You remember that story? Samson, long hair guy, amazing strength. The mother of Samson was told, "A son is given unto you, and he will be set apart to God from birth. And he will begin the deliverance of Israel from the hands of the Philistines." By this heavenly announcement, the parents of Samson knew that they were going to have a son who was going to be a great benefit to Israel. The reason for the birth of that son, Samson, was to bring great blessing to Israel. The reason for the birth of Jesus Christ is to bring great blessing to you. Why do we give gifts at the Christmas season? Maybe because of the shepherds bringing gifts to Jesus. Maybe. But the scriptures seem to point in another direction. It is because God the Father has given his son as a great gift to you, so that you would believe upon him, that he would live and die and be resurrected again for you, so that you would be delivered from the wrath of God. Oh, what a great gift. What an amazing gift is Jesus Christ to us. What can I give in return? Simply to seek to love him with all my heart, mind, body, soul, and strength. He is our gift, and through him we have eternal life. Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for the gift that you have so